Okay, thank you, Mr. President. A couple items to work on today. First is the appointment to the Common Interest Community Advisory Council. As council knows, the General Assembly created the Office of the Ombudsman for the Common Interest Community in the Department of Justice back in August of 2014. The mission for that advisory council, as well as the Office of the Ombudsman, is to assist members of the common interest communities in understanding their rights and responsibilities and the processes available to them according to the law, regulations, and documents governing their respective common interest communities. Each county has a representative that serves on the advisory council. The advisory council meets four times a year at minimum, more if needed. I attend on behalf of the council when I am available. Previous to me, the assistant administrator, deputy administrator attended. And at this point, I would recommend that we have further representation by our government affairs manager, Mr. Mike Costello. Mike has worked with the ombudsman directly in his role previously as the constable and currently as the manager. And I would recommend he serve and represent the council on this advisory council.
Have a motion.
I do have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council appoints Mike Costello, Government Affairs Manager, to serve as a designee for the Sussex County Council on the State Common Interest Community Advisory Council.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette.
This is really critical. So I have to tell you, being a former president of an HOA, there's a lot of craziness going on out there, in my opinion. I'll say it that way. People come in and are clueless. They come in with some power trips and are creating a real challenge in this community up and down the state. And there's no real education that's going on with these folks. And it is a real big challenge. So absolutely, we need better and more representation. So yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Is it Mr. Costello?
Yes, sir.
Is the victim?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be glad to say yes.
I also vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Congratulations, Mr. Costello.
For the next item, if the council would allow, I'm going to make my presentation down at the podium.
Please do.
Thank you.
Mr. Guy is going to bring one of our props in today, and let me get set up here.
Non-digital?
Starting with non-digital. You'll see the segue, hopefully.
He says Safeway.
And Mr. Guy, please use all care in not blocking the view of the press in the rows there.
How will that work?
Oh, there's a good map, yes. That's the Lawrence Lank map, right, we were talking about? Mice got into it?
Thank you.
Apologize to the audience for turning my back during this presentation, but it's worthwhile for the council to see our prop here. I'm joined today by members of the county staff. They're here behind me, Daniel, Janelle, Megan, and Joel. They are the ones that get all the credit for the hard work that we're about to demonstrate today, in conjunction with an outside source that we utilize to really what we're demonstrating, and hopefully the council will introduce the ordinance to codify this effort. But we're moving from this paper form of zoning map to that, a digital form of the county's zoning map. And this project dates all the way back to FY16 as far as the council approving the funding for the project. We started in earnest last year, and it harkens back to a conversation I had with our former planning and zoning director, Lawrence Lank, when we were dealing with a land use issue. And, you know, Lawrence famously would pull these maps out. If anyone's been back to the permit counter area, there's about 20 of these sets of maps of the entire zoning map for Sussex County. We were dealing with an issue, and as Lawrence flopped through the maps, I asked him, where's the backup to these maps? And he said there wasn't any. And I said,
where's the second set of these paper maps? And he said, there wasn't any. And an alarm went off in my head, and I thought to myself, so you mean to tell me for 4 decades worth of land use decisions as a reference on a paper map, this is the only set that we have? And he said yes. So that was the launching point of this initiative, really, to memorialize the information contained on these maps first, and then secondly, moving into the digital world. GIS is not a new technology. Certainly a lot of entities utilize that. A lot of municipalities use GIS, and we are playing catch up in some regards. But over the last 5 years, I'm very proud of some of the efforts that we've been able to put forward in that regard and making information available through our mapping system. This, remember, is our customized mapping template that we make available to the public as well as our staff. This was designed by consultants and built by our staff. So something we're very proud of, the in-house work that's been done here. Let me demonstrate to you the condition of these paper maps, if you would allow me. This is section 133 of our tax parcel ID. And historically, we would have these maps utilized at the permit counter when you had land use questions. And over time, as Council and Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment would make land use decisions, those decisions were noted on these paper maps. Literally, Lawrence and Shane Abbott would work together as in their roles in the Planning and Zoning Office, and they would make annotations on these maps. And you can see some of these listed here. Change of zones, conditional use, special use exception, denoted here with the medium residential.
Ron, you can go if you want to take some in the front.
I'm good.
Okay.
And we don't like airing our dirty laundry here. Now, this is. Do we really want everybody to know this? We were operating like this, do we?
Yes, George.
It's images. It's an appreciation of where we are today.
Images everything. This is terrible. The rest of the day in the community, people will be laughing at me.
Sometimes the truth hurts, right, George?
Oh.
This is an interesting one, and this is what I wanted to demonstrate today. If you can see here, this is Route 113 going into Millsboro. This is an area denoted by the hashtag that the town of Millsboro annexed.
Right.
It became Plantations Lakes, or is becoming Plantations Lakes, as the further expansion happened. And you can see right here, this is Lawrence's handwriting, annexed June 7th, 2004. So other than the deed downstairs that was the legal documentation that referenced this action, this is the only reference within the county building, so to speak, that would allow us to have a record of what was taking place. So you can understand the need and the justification for moving past a paper document and creating some kind of file that would allow us to have secure access to information in the future. Sorry not to hurt this anymore.
Yeah, take care of it. It's very important.
Okay.
Are we up and running now with the new maps?
We are.
Okay.
Stay tuned. So
Megan's got the switch going to turn them anyway.
Yes, you can. Yeah, that's fine. So the question became, how do you go from that 40 years of information, all paper, no backup, no digital file, to this? Well, we partnered with the Eastern Shore Regional GIS Cooperative and Salisbury University and their staff to work through this process. And the first thing we did, for fear of making these paper copies any worse through the handling of them, we took pictures. So we have digital pictures, high image pictures of the maps. The second thing we did was we scanned the documents so that we had a digital file that we could have and it was memorialized. So at that point, the fear of destruction from a catastrophic event was over.
Todd, when was that done?
That was done probably early 2016.
Just a year ago.
Yes. Yes. This entire effort I described to you is the last year and a half. Okay. So we have the scanned version of these documents. And remember, there's 20 plus
stacks of those rack maps at the permit counter with 40-plus sheets within the racks. That's 160,000 parcels in Sussex County that we had to make sure that we knew where they went and how they should go on this digital form. So then staff took these digital scans, and recall the picture I just showed you of the town of Millsboro, and we laid them on top of our base map. And let me sound really smart for a moment and repeat some of what they would tell me. They were scanned, then it's called geo-referenced to Delaware State Plane Coordinate System to line up with our parcel maps. Then the GIS map was heads-up digitized to match the paper map. I take that to mean that they laid one on top of the other, and digitally we made sure that the scanned versions and our electronic versions matched.
How many mistakes were there? None?
It took us quite some time to quality control 160,000 parcels. It is our intent to have no mistakes. Here's an interesting illustration of that paper version laid on top of our digital version. You can see the annotation that I referenced here. Parcel ID, 265 acres, annexed June 7, 2004. And I want to note this Plantations Lake Inn folder. We got to the point where either we were too busy or we weren't able to have the updates on the maps. So when the subdivisions would come online, we would just simply keep them in a folder, and then we would reference the paper in the folder when someone was coming in and asking questions about a particular parcel. Okay, so take the scan versions, draw it onto our digital version, and we end up with 160,000 parcels that will look like this. Now, this information I'm about to show you is not new. However, as we are able to have clean parcels and annotation information on our map, then we were able to take the current zoning of the map and place that into the digital
version. So the wording in the folder is no longer on there?
That is correct. We did memorialize all the handwriting notes in a digital layer form. So everything that Lawrence and Shane and staff have written on these paper forms are in digital form and memorialized. Somewhere. They're somewhat confusing. They're somewhat hard to read. We didn't want to make that available for public digestion for the fear of there would be some confusion. But what is new today is as the zoning map would change over time and denoted on this paper form, we are now able, with this drawn map, digital GIS map, lay down the zoning as it is currently within the county for each parcel, and this is the first. So you are looking at the intersection of Route 20 and 113 South, and that is the location of a gas station. You're probably familiar with that. This gas station is a commercial use. This red parcel is shown here in this new zoning category. We have over 10 zoning categories that are denoted on this parcel map. And for the first time, we are able to show the zoning category, the acreage, can't see that red very well, parcel identification, and even the surveyed lot line dimensions on most parcels. And as a result, this information will be contained in one place. And what's important to note is as you make decisions in land use, and planning and zoning makes decisions on subdivisions, all of this information will be memorialized and kept up to date on this platform. And that's important because as things happen in real time, you, the public, or people that do business with the county will be able to access this information. I do want to show you, when you click on the parcel ID and you go back over to the parcel, you will see When you click on it, it's highlighted. There it is. This is the St. Clair Real Estate Holdings LLC, for anyone that's familiar with that area. That's a commercial area, and that is the location of Tailbangers, that wonderful small business down in Millsboro that makes doggy treats. I'm sort of highlighting commercial here, but there are other color codes.
Now, Todd, this technology, during a public hearing in the afternoons that we have, Can we have these applications thrown up on that screen so as we talk about it, we see it?
100%.
As opposed to looking at the little things, and then we can move it around and see.
100%.
Because our little maps we get are limited on distance and everything.
Absolutely. Those little maps are PDF. They're a snapshot of the area that you're looking at.
Right.
For instance, one of the more active locations in the county that you have been asked to review recently is on Route 9 between Lewis and Georgetown. And we have tried to show some of the activity there, but here it is clearly, currently. This is Route 9 running across the county. And you can see all the white base, which is AR, and then as you move from the Lewis Five Points area, which is over here, moving west, you can see clearly some of the parcels, and if we want to scan in.
How does a conditional use show up?
Well, let me get there. George, you're really helping me out with my my thought process.
Trying to move along.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We've got a light agenda.
sorry, Mr. President.
So one of the things I really want to make sure that you understand, the audience understands, and folks that are paying attention, perhaps watching online, we didn't change anything about the property and the aspects of the property. The zoning, property lines, nothing has changed. All we are doing is taking what was done here or was shown on those maps, and we are making it in digital form. If there is a mistake, George referenced, we hope there is not, but if there is a mistake, we want you to call the mapping and addressing office and say, my parcel is showing up and there's a mistake. But in this exercise, we made no changes to any of the zoning or the property references that are contained downstairs in the deeds office.
Question. So if somebody calls up and says, my property, the dimensions are way off, and they come in with some survey or something and prove it, right? We can change it?
So in short, we will investigate it. Our staff isn't inclined to make those legal decisions as it relates to a conflict between what's recorded downstairs in the deeds office and what's shown here on this reference map. Anyone that uses this map knows when you go onto the website and you click the first button that says, I accept, there's that disclaimer that says this is simply a reference. This is not a legal documentation. Questions about property lines and things of that nature and problems with the deed, that's well beyond what staff should be making those changes.
But if it is a acknowledged mistake,
yes,
how can that be changed?
Oh, these red lines,
yeah,
everything you see
those
here,
numbers, that red, all that kind of stuff can be easily
all
changed.
That has been inputted by a human being. All that's been done by county staff.
Okay.
Let's say it's not a mistake. Let's say it's a subdivision. And this four-acre piece of property right here I'm highlighting wants to be subdivided into two or what have you. Once that subdivision is recorded, our staff will make the changes on our GIS layer, and that will be reflected here.
Show all the lots and all the dimensions.
Absolutely. And we are doing a much better job of keeping up. I don't know what our backlog is now. I wouldn't even call it a backlog, but we are staying as current as they can work through the subdivisions. You can see right here, this is a couple of subdivisions surrounding Red Mill Pond. And this is the intersection of Dairy Farm Road and Route 9. These lots here aren't even built right here, but they're subdivided on paper, approved, and at the time that they are ready to be sold and moved, it will be built to this spec. But that is a recorded subdivision in the Recorder of Deeds office. Okay.
So to Councilman Cole's question.
Yes. So what we have done, Councilman Cole was reflecting on the change of zone, conditional uses, and the Board of Adjustment, special use exceptions, and variances. We are building those layers as we speak as well. So when that is done, and we have a lot of information, and the goal is to have all conditional uses, change of zones, contained on a layer. So if you go over to your menu and you click on that layer, and there is a change of zone within that property, you will see it. And it'll be denoted like any other parcel information is denoted. And we will be able to have a hyperlink. It'll say change of zone 1234. Click on that hyperlink, and that will drop you into the file of the change of zone. You'll be able to see the application, when it was done, how it was done, things of that nature.
Like RPC, we'll be able to see if it's an RPC or if it's a conditional use or any of that kind of stuff.
Yes. That information in the future will be made available. We are a few months away from having all of that information up here, but for now, today's announcement and where we're leading to with this ordinance, our zoning information as it stands with the county right now is now going to be represented on this GIS map, and then as it relates to individual parcel information, you will now be able to see zoning, parcel, dimensions, and annotation all in one shot.
The VRP designation at the bottom, I don't think there is one in the county. If there is, does anybody know?
Vacation, retire, resident. That VRP. May be. These are, as the county code stands right now, are designated
district.
Zoning districts. And of course, you see there's two districts there, CR1 and C1. One of those are not used anymore. The other is. So if there is a zoning category, it's reflected here. It may not show up on the map because you may be correct that there's one not being utilized. But we took the approach to put them all in so that folks weren't confused. You know, we're undergoing an effort to change some of our commercial zoning. If that change is ever approved by council, that'll be reflected up here as well.
On that,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Is it to eliminate perhaps potential confusion to the public on these zoning types right there? Do we have something that we can distinguish what's current versus what is not current? Meaning, yeah, as you just said, the CR1 versus the C1. So I think maybe that could be looked at. I think number two is on the conditional uses. So you click on a link, as an example, mm-hmm. And that link will take whomever directly to the actual file of that application to include the planning and zoning hearing,
yes.
To include the council hearing,
yes.
To include the votes accordingly.
Yes.
All things related to that record.
Yes, and as it stands right now, we have the planning and zoning docket, which is the one-stop shop for that information. That only goes back a few years, 5 years. We're 5 years in right now, and moving forward, obviously. But if you go on to that one application, all that material that you have asked for is there. You've got the minutes, which contains the votes.
Sure.
You've got the application. At some point in my lifetime or my tenure as county administrator, the hope is to actually start uploading the site plans to those dockets so that the public can be able to see exactly if it's a site plan oriented application, they can see what the site plan looks like. So we're hopeful, we're building as we go. We've got to work backwards on those conditional uses. And over time, I would think you would agree, looking at a 1985 conditional use that may not exist. It may have been
expired. Would it go off this map when they expire?
We would like to have current conditional uses only shown up here. But we have over 2,000 conditional uses that we've got to be able to go through and vet.
And there's going to be more in the future. So we ought to have a system dealing, like if they expire, maybe a different color. So we know something's been there, but it's been expired. Because a lot of people come in, you know, down the road and say, you know, there used to be a conditional use here and there wasn't any problem. We'd like to come back and do one, even though the other one was expired, but it might be a different use or something.
Right, right.
Just to give us a sense of the historical perspective of that parcel and its any commercial uses that may have been there. Or something.
And I'm fairly confident that moving forward, the way that we're building the docket and the docket's tie-in with the GIS map, I think all of that is going to continue to be a great reference for folks. One of the problems we're dealing with now is as we move forward, the docket is, as you remember, the years are color-coded, and if you load all the colors, it looks like a big pin map with too many reference points. We're dealing with that challenge. Mr. Arlette, I wanted to note here, this is an illustration. Once a zoning change is made, that zoning change runs with the land, of course. And council, back, I'm sure George was here, but before, we decided to do away with, and I'm not using the right terminology, of CR1. So commercial residential, no, C1. C1 was
closed.
But it's still referenced here. This parcel is still zoned C1, mm-hmm. and it hasn't extinguished. This is CR1 as designated by the different tone of red. Unless this owner of this property comes in and changes from C1 to something else, this will run with the land until that change takes place. So even though we're not offering that anymore, it still stays with the parcel. I'm not sure how we can explain that, but we'll consider it.
Maybe an asterisk? Just put an asterisk up there with a little notation. These are, I don't know, I'll leave that up to you guys.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But another thought is because we, in the history of this council and this county, have always has been a complaint-driven county, i.e. issues that come about are primarily dealt with as they are complained about. So with this new technology, and perhaps additional transparency to the community that exists, if somebody is not in compliance and it is a known fact or has received a violation, is that going to be here?
Eventually.
Yes.
Be nice, yeah, be nice,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm very excited. Something that we are... Hey, we are trying to get more advanced in the way we do business in Georgetown. We are test running a module of the Munis system that the county already owns and purchased 2010. One of the modules within that Munis system is code enforcement. And in fact, Mr. Mike Costello is helping spearhead that effort. We had a demo last year where our GIS consultant and our Munis consultants are able to talk to each other through this technology. And literally, I don't have my smartphone, but if you are on location with a smartphone and you recognize a code violation as a county employee and you take a picture, push a button, drop a pin, whatever the reference is, on site, that smartphone is talking to our Munis system and our GIS system back home, and we will be able to track or digitally reference that violation. Therefore, you can do the paperwork behind it, you can track it as far as has it been fixed, and if we want to make public aware of current violations, say we want to track sign violations, that information could be up here on the GIS map, if we so choose.
And at the same point, again, we're not looking to quote-unquote police the county. At the same time, some people are of the opinion that there are violations, and in reality, there are not. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, you know, if there is a public record that exists, for example, like a conditional use, as an example, and there are specific items within that conditional use, and a neighbor is complaining because they think they're not in violation, but really they're not, mm-hmm. reference it right here, right? So in other words, I think it would eventually, as we educate the community, people can use this as a resource to check, you know what I mean? To see, well, gosh, I guess they're not in violation.
Yes.
I guess it goes both ways, I guess is what I'm trying to say there. So it's not just one way, but I think at the same, maybe eventually at some point in time, it could eliminate the phone calls coming in, the complaints that are there that are really not warranted, and it takes additional time and staff hours away from it. People can just go online and check for themselves.
So council's aware of the fact that we are equipping staff with new technology within their vehicles. They're utilizing computers now and tablets within the vehicles. They're all mobile. We're building this resource for them as well. So when they're driving down the road and they're making an investigation, all of a sudden they spot something, They're not sure that's approved use. They've got a call and a complaint, and they're investigating. They pull up to the property. They pull up this information, and all of it's at their fingertips. They don't have to write down notes or make a phone call. They can do the investigation on site, and lo and behold, this is an approved use. I don't need to bother the property owner. Everything looks fine to me. That information and that equipment is being put in the staff's hands to be able to do that work. Saves them from driving back and forth to Georgetown, looking at the files, and seeing what is taking place if that's approved.
Any more questions of council? Joe, I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
Not to belabor this, but a while ago you showed that Plantations Lakes.
Yes.
With a note about something being in the folder. Mm-hmm. Is that now on that map that shows all the whole site plan?
Indeed it is.
Maybe I missed that. You had it up there. I didn't.
I'll go back and show that demonstration, and it's one of the things I did want to show. That's how we got to this point. We were able to lay these scan versions of the mapping down, and if you stick with me here, computer, let me turn the zoning off. Stand by. Okay, so you look at these scans, and right here is a couple of maps coupled together, and here's the reference, Mr. Vincent, Plantations Lake
right.
In folder. Now, as you're seeing this map right here, it looks like several large parcels, because originally it was a large farm, and it was subdivided and eventually annexed into the town. This is just for reference on how we built this thing. You won't see these scan mapped. I'm just proving to you they exist. If you turn them off,
I trust you.
If you turn those off and you turn your parcels back on, and voila, what is contained and used to be contained in the folder is now up on the GIS map. So Plantations Lake is built as we see here, and you can see the wonderful job our mapping and addressing folks are doing. Each one of these parcels individually addressed, 911 address, dimensions. This is a townhome or condo configuration. There it is. That's what was in the folder, and now it's on a map for the public to view. And our staff to gauge for a reference.
So we've had to work with these our town municipalities, obviously, right, to get all of their stuff. This is the entire county, not just the unincorporated areas.
That's correct because they all come through the recorder deeds.
That's pretty huge.
She said that's correct because it all comes through the recorder of deeds. She being Megan, our GIS manager. Thank you, Megan. Yes, it is. It is, as you can tell here.
One last question, Mr. I apologize. Again, just because, you know, better transparency is better. So when somebody is applying for something, is that going to show up here?
Yes, it already does.
Change of zone, condition use, whatever it is.
Yes. Going back to our planning and zoning docket, right now, everything that's been introduced and has worked its way through our system is shown on a different place on the county's website. So if you have an interest in any of the upcoming applications that are in our queue, that information is there.
Well, more so for the public.
Absolutely. I mean, yes.
That's what I'm referring to. Not so much as council,
yes.
But for the public to see. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. We do have some official business, Mr. President, to conduct.
Sure.
When we were moving from our paper version to our GIS version, we asked our attorneys, how do we do this? Because it's never been done before. The maps have been updated and kept up to date, but it's never been reflected in county code. And to be extra careful, our attorneys recommended that we do so in an ordinance form. And unless you have any questions, I have a short title.
Please read short title.
An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Zoning, Article 2, Establishment of Districts Maps, and replace the official zoning map of Sussex County with an identical official zoning map in GIS-based format.
I'll introduce it.
Cole, introduce
it. I'll make the motion to adopt it, right?
Introduce.
We'll have hearings.
We will amend the ordinance to make this official. Thank you very much.
Very
appreciate
cool.
it. And,
thank you.
Very much thank you to the staff. These
folks
went over at least two or three quality controls of 160,000 parcels. Endless nights, poor Daniel. He probably had to get a new set of glasses. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. And while you're coming back to your seat for the rest of your report, to staff, thank you all very much.
Absolutely.
This is very impressive. It's brought us a long way, I think, from where we were to where we are. And I'm sure it's even going to get better. So, but thank you very much for all the hard work you do. We appreciate it. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. Last item is our County Administrator's Report for January 31, 2017. The Sussex County Council will be joined by members of the Planning and Zoning Commission next Tuesday, February 7, 2017, for a joint workshop to work on the 2018 Comprehensive Land Use Plan. During the workshop, the county's consultants, McCormick Taylor, will provide draft goals and objectives regarding the comprehensive plan for the group's discussion on a path forward on the plan. The workshop will be held at the county's West Complex at 1:30. That is all, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, our weekly visitor, Mr. Bedlars. You're here as much as we are, which is a good thing.
We'll be back next week.
There's no doubt.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having us before you again today. Before we start on the particular item, I'd like to make a statement pertaining to the GIS interaction. The engineering department, in cooperation with the GIS management, is also working towards the digitization of the engineering records. And these are really the as-built records of the entire county sewer system and water system. So you will see that it's a multi-year process, and Megan and I are probably in year 1.25. And obviously Joel's right in there. So the project before you today is the airport electrical enclosures. And when you look at this, the title, you may think, why is this a multi-hundred-thousand-dollar project? These are really buildings. We have one out there right now, which right now runs the entire lighting system, the runway, the taxiways, the obstruction lights, et cetera. So the intent is to separate all these lighting features out so you have a better redundancy. So when you lose one, you don't lose everything right now. If we lose some circuits in that existing electrical enclosure, the entire airport has to be closed because we have everything is connected. If we would separate it out in the future, if we lose some taxiway lighting, we can close the exact taxiway versus having to affect the entire airport. So you had approved in the budget the separation of all these circuits and had authorized the construction of these two enclosures. And that's, I want to say, construction, not just the buildings, but you also have to fit them out. You have to obviously erect them. And then you have to connect them to the various lighting circuits in the various taxiways and the runway and the obstructions, obstruction lighting. So having said this, right now we have had advertised for two enclosures, which we received four bids. It's been very clear that we had to design this to a 120-mile-an-hour wind load. You may recall from our presentations for the T-hanger that was a big issue, driving the price. So as of bid date, we received four bids. Three of them clearly did not design to a 120-mile-an-hour load, but to a much lesser load. And only one of the bidders was fully responsive. And as you can see on the questionnaire, which we filled out ourselves for the various items, they were compliant with almost everything except for two items, which we have since then squared away. This was answered on bid date or shortly thereafter. So our recommendation cleanly is that there is only one responsive bidder, and the award should go to the responsive bidder. And that particular bidder would be Fiber. Have to read it again. That's a funny name. Fiber Bond, but it's spelled not like fiber. It's fiber with R-E Bond. So our recommendation would be that the initial award for the buildings, the erection, and part of the electrical work go to this company, fully understanding that we have to get the pads designed with the right openings and the conduit runs, which we're currently working on. And then you will see us again for a scope change to the general labor and equipment contract, which would then install the conduits to serve the enclosure. So that's where we are.
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. President.
I know in the budget there were two electrical enclosures, mm-hmm. being plural.
Yes.
And I read down in here in your engineering department recommends for the bid option number one being a steel structure, which is one. So my, are you telling me that we're spending over $500 million for two of them?
Excellent pickup. The
structure, I read this.
The structure refers to the type. The number is two.
Okay. Okay. I just, I'm almost, pro, okay. All right. That's better. You have a motion?
I do have a motion.
He reads it, he just doesn't understand it.
Well, I knew singular and plural. I didn't know that much.
And please note the plural. Be it removed, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that contract 17-11, Airport Electrical Enclosures, be awarded to Fiberbond Corporation of Minden, Louisiana, in the total bid amount of $256,294.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
For the record, this is a very special type of enclosure, and we don't have any local contractors even remotely ready or able to build these. I thought you may ask that, but I wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you. Thank you very much.